Hey, welcome to the Sparkling Client Podcast. I'm Eric Mork, I'm the host, and what we do is we give you short, informative shows all about Silverlight. Okay, so here at the Sparkling Client, we're going to try a little something new. It's a show where we have guest panelists, and we talk about what's new in Silverlight for the past week. I am very happy to introduce a couple of my favorite Silverlight folks. Number one being Kelly White, who is a Silverlight person here in the Portland area, sort of my cohort, and the person who co-founded the Silverlight user group along with me here in the Portland area. So, Kelly, welcome.
Thanks, Eric.
And the other person is sort of a stalwart on Twitter, and that's Brian Henderson, who is just really up on all of the Silverlight news. Welcome, Brian.
Hi, Eric. Hi, Kelly.
Hey, Brian.
All right, guys. So let's go ahead and start off here. And I think the first thing to do is to talk about the Silverlight application of the week. And for this, we've talked about it and we've decided that the Facebook application for Silverlight is going to be this week's Silverlight application. So I think we've all used it here a little bit.
Yeah, I'm using it right now. I still don't get it, but...
You've got it up and you're using it? Perfect.
I'm not a big Facebook user. I do more Twitter, but I've used it, yeah.
That's so funny because I don't think we're really Facebook folks. I think, though, that people who do use Facebook a lot, they're really raving about this.
No, I totally agree. And, you know, one of my favorite things is the way people interact with the photos and the demos that, you know, you see with that. But I just don't go to Facebook to see photos, and I could care less what college buddies are doing. Sorry.
It's a pretty... So, I mean, I thought this was kind of clever. What they do is they have a Silverlight 4 out of the browser application. So it's one of those applications that comes outside the browser window and it has elevated privileges so it can talk to the Facebook API. And the people who made it actually did, you know, I think a pretty good job with the UX. I know both of you guys are UX people. Do you have any thoughts on the user experience with this particular application?
Just the fact that you're able to access pictures and see friends and stuff like that, very nice.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it seems to be, you know, pretty simple, pretty intuitive. I'm kind of a... I don't use Facebook much like you guys, but I'm kind of a big fan. Any thoughts, Kelly?
You know, I really like the... They do a lot with subtle animations here, right? As I go to the photos... As I mouse over and as I'm able to quickly see, you know, where my mouse is, as I see the text pop up, you know, just little subtle animations there, which makes it alive and makes it interactive.
In talking with people that do Facebook on a regular basis, they find using the client app very friendly because the Facebook API itself is changing quite a bit, and just the layout look of the site as you log in, the website itself, it's changing. So having this nice constant desktop client and be able to access through that way, they find it very friendly.
Yeah, and it makes a lot of sense. You know, I like the Silverlight 4 approach for out-of-browser applications where we get the icon on the desktop and it appears in the uninstall applications. I don't even know what that is, the control panel or whatever. I think it's pretty nice. And sort of one thing that's happened, a lot of people are installing Silverlight 4, you know, the beta version. Like people, not even programmers, are installing the beta version so they can use this application.
Yeah. I don't know if I like that 100%, right? You know, people are going to have to uninstall the beta 4. There's not going to be an upgrade path. At least that's what we've been told. But, you know, maybe not a lot of people are going to be using it. Maybe people don't use Facebook.
Actually, I've seen from Twitter a lot of people mentioned that they like it. So there's a lot of positive feedback and a lot of different users actually using the application.
It's great to see people using, you know, basically developer beta bits who aren't programmers, but it does scare me a little bit as well.
My favorite part of this app is that install experience is you first log in and you walk through and it says, I need permissions to do this, to do comments, to update feeds. You know, and there's about three different screens where you got to go through and say, okay, I grant these permissions here. And it's really smooth and it's really quick. You know, you see what's happening, and that's one thing that I've had a hard time trying to do with different Facebook applications is mimicking that. So they've done a really good job with that.
Yeah, even in the world of Twitter applications or Twitter client applications, I haven't seen an experience as nice as that.
Now, I'm wondering, do we happen to know who actually made this? Like, did it come from inside of Microsoft?
I believe it was a third party, but I don't know who the third party is and if it was a third party working with Microsoft or not.
No, I mean, I'm certainly impressed whoever made this. So, and I'm not seeing it in the about. So, okay, let's go ahead and move on and let's talk about rumors. There's a couple we want to bring up. Kelly, you wanna start?
So the rumor that I heard was that everybody at Mix is going to get a Zune phone. Can I see?
Did I tell you I had that same dream?
Did you really?
Yes.
I don't know where I saw that or where I heard that. Maybe it was at the Lidnug Scott Guthrie. I can't remember. Did you tweet that?
Good one. However, looking at the Mix session site, I did see there's 12 Windows Mobile 7 phone sessions posted. Not a lot of content, but there's placeholders there.
Yeah, that's really exciting.
Yeah, wow. So, I didn't even know they said Windows Mobile on them. And of course, it's not the abstracts, right? So we don't know much about what's going to be in them. Is that fair to say? Or
that's very fair. They're basically blank. The abstracts are blank at this point, so. But there is 7 placeholders there. And all the sessions haven't been posted yet, so there's potentially more to come. So,
yeah, so we're sort of at this interesting period of time, right, where there's a lot of new stuff on the horizon. So if we sort of categorize it, there's the Silverlight 4 stuff. And Silverlight 4 is out in beta. We kind of know what to expect there. There's going to be some features added. But that's coming out. And I think they've said publicly Silverlight 4 is going to ship in first half of 2010. And most people are expecting that to be maybe a little bit earlier. And then we also have, you know, mobile stuff on the horizon. And I don't think anything, well, I don't think anything had been publicly said until maybe this past week about Silverlight Mobile. But Brian, you picked up on something at Lidnug. What was that?
I tuned into Lidnug this morning, 10 p.m. or 10 a.m. Pacific time. And Scott Guthrie have this once a quarter chat with a general audience and developer community. And it's a LinkedIn.net user group. And he was talking quite a bit about mobile and the stuff around Silverlight. So there's some interesting tidbits to kind of mention there. Nothing very specific because you can't really go into a lot of detail about it, but still some interesting hints or just some points around that area. He did say that there's probably a good chance of seeing some, hearing more about Windows Mobile in the coming weeks. And when we hear about that, we'll start hearing about a tool story as well. So that's a very interesting thing.
Yeah, no, so I thought that was kind of interesting. And the quote from him was in the coming weeks, which makes that seem, you know, pretty close. Like, it's not going to be 4 or 5 months from now. Like, it seems like it's really coming up.
Well, there's a mobile conference on Monday, right?
Yeah, so this mobile conference that I've been hearing about, this is the one in Barcelona?
That's correct.
And so I guess there's some possibility that there might be an announcement then. Is that what we're thinking?
You know, I kind of think so. At least that's what I remember seeing the press talk about. You know, I think I remember Ballmer saying that they could expect more news, not at Mix. You know, he didn't mention Mix, but he said this at this mobile DevCon conference.
Yeah, so it's really interesting. I mean, I think we're starting to get some hints, but most of us are in the dark. And in fact, I mean, I don't have any inside information. I don't think any of us have any inside information on what's really coming. So I'm going to be curious to see, you know, is it Silverlight for Windows Mobile and that's it? Or Silverlight for Windows Mobile? And it looks like in your tweets, Brian, you guys were talking about Nokia a little bit.
There is a mention Scott Guthrie mentioned this morning. When they first announced there might be silver on Windows Mobile a couple of years ago at Mix 07, Nokia was one of the key device manufacturers kind of mentioned that. So the question was, will Nokia phones support Silverlight? And he kind of said there's a good chance we'll see something with Silverlight and Nokia phones in not too distant future.
Cool. Yeah, interesting. I mean, I guess, I don't know, I feel like, I mean, I've been doing some development on the iPhone with Monotouch. And so that's C sharp on the iPhone, which is pretty cool. And I don't know. I mean, if this is it, right? Like, if they come out and here's Silverlight for Windows Mobile, and that's it, and there isn't a story for the other platforms. I mean, I don't want to be blasphemous here, guys, but I don't know. That doesn't sound very exciting to me. If that's the end of the story.
I just put up a exciting tidbit here on my website, or not my website, but on my browser. The conference we're talking about is the Mobile Congress 2010, and it's called the Barcelona Mobile World Congress 2010. And it mentions that Steve Ballmer is going to be the keynoting that, and it's going to be streamed live on the internet, which is kind of interesting.
Cool.
So if Steve Ballmer is there, I would expect there to be some very large announcement taking place. But so again, I'm creating rumors.
Yeah, if Robbie Bach's not going to be there, then there's probably not going to be a Zune phone, since that's in his division.
I love your Zune phone focus. I really do.
Well, you guys saw that in the latest Zune update, there was a bunch of DLLs for phone support, right?
No, I missed that.
I'll have to dig up that tweet and show it to you. But yeah, one of the guys actually pulled apart his Zune update and looked at the DLLs that were there, and there were some for phone support.
Cool.
Now, that doesn't mean that there's going to be a Zune phone. There could just, you know, the Zune software support, you know, it will run on the phone, but.
So what's really cool about that is, you know, the Zunes have this great, great display. And as far as I know, it's like the best display out there. And I think they're OLED. I don't even know how to say it properly. I've read it so much. But I hear their screens are the best. And I kind of think, like, if they're going to release a phone, it could be really, really good. I mean, I hope it is.
Well, not just the hardware, but I think the UI as well, being kind of fluid and easy to use as far as navigation and accessing different features, is very amazing as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with Kelly. I hope it comes. And my thing is, I really hope it's next generation sort of stuff, right? Like, if it comes out and it's just kind of as good as the iPhone, I don't know. Like I don't want to play catch up. I want something to come out and leapfrog, you know, whoever's best right now. Anyway, maybe we're beating a dead horse on this. So, guys, let's jump into our favorite news topics from this past week. So, Brian, are there any things you want to pull out of your tweet stream and highlight?
So this week I was looking at an interesting blog post by Jeffrey Procise on the Silverlight 4 navigation loader framework and interface. I think this is something that was kind of looked over so far by people looking at Silverlight 4, and he kind of highlights how easy it's to use and just what you can do with it in a Silverlight 4 application.
Yeah, no, I think this is really interesting. In Silverlight 3, you know, the navigation stuff was pretty much locked down, and we couldn't reach in there and really twiddle how things happened, like the routing of the URI fragments and that sort of thing. And now we have, you know, pretty good control in Silverlight 4, and he's got some scenarios there. Like, maybe you want to authorize access to a page before navigating to it. And now we can really tap in and make sure that authorization happens before we bring that page up. Really good stuff.
Yeah, I agree. Just be able to control the loading of the pages themselves is very good. The article itself is not too long, and it's very simple, but the importance of it, I think, is very significant. Moving on, the other things I saw this week, there's a new episode on Silverlight TV. I dropped episode 7 now, and this week's episode was Glenn Block being interviewed by John Papa, talking about Silverlight and math. And the topic title is when and where to use math in Silverlight. So, and just to give you a little background, Glenn Block is the program manager on Silverlight, so he's kind of the architect of math.
Now, he just got promoted, right? For him?
Yeah, he got a promotion. I'm not sure he's still, you know, the team lead or the team project manager, but I'm not sure how that promotion, it's an internal promotion in Microsoft.
Yeah, so the thing that confuses me about Math is, when shouldn't I use it? And it's really, I don't know, there's some gray area now between some of the more PNP sort of approaches, like maybe Unity for IOC, and Math, where you can do IOC. And for that matter, like Ninject and Castle Windsor and all this stuff, and how you pick the right IOC or IOC-like functionality, I don't know. That's not entirely clear to me. A lot of people are using Math right now, and they're using it for straight-up IOC scenarios. I don't know. It's interesting. When I hear Math, I think, third-party extensibility, but I actually haven't watched that show yet, and I need to.
No, I just wondered, Eric, are you using Meph in your Silverlight stuff?
So for my my actual client application development, I haven't used it yet. I've used it in samples, and I think it's good, and I think it works well. But for the way my brain works, I want to have like the one right thing to use, and Meph, I don't know. It may be that thing. It's a little confusing to me right now.
I think we're still kind of early in Silverlight 4 to actually decide, what is the best thing to use. So we're still going through that process, experimenting a little bit.
No, yeah, and that's fair enough. There's always going to be, the right tool for the right problem. I think one of the problems right now is, you basically have to pick an entire stack of stuff to work with. Start at the database. Do we want Entity Framework? Do we want Link to SQL? Move up a layer. Do we want for the access to that, do we want to have WCF data services, WCF RIA services, WCF regular services, and you can move then into the client side where you have to make choices about IFC containers, MVVM infrastructure, and that sort of stuff. And you really, right now, you really have to pick the entire thing out.
Very true. Along with that, Glenn actually had an article on Meth published in MSDN magazine, the February edition, it's a pretty long article, goes into a lot of detail on how to use Meth with Serverlight as well. So it might be a good complement to that.
So let's move on and let's talk about, so Tim always has something interesting, and he's been talking a little bit about the Silverlight Media Framework.
Yeah, I saw that. So are you using the Silverlight Media Framework at all right now, Eric? Have you tried that?
So I'm not using it in any of my projects, mainly because I had thought about it as like a solution for streaming media, right? And, I guess that's now not strictly the case.
Huh. All right. Now, we looked at this at mycontent.com, and the biggest hurdle we have right now is still the Flash versus Silverlight, but once we get past that, I think this is where we're going to be focusing.
Yeah, and I should say, to be fair, I haven't used, I haven't spun up a media project in the last 3 or 4 months. It's good to know. It's good to have that framework there, and the media framework is actually out on CodePlex if you want to take a look at it. So,
just a little note, Eric. Please. With that framework is the same framework that the NFL used for their live streaming of the football during the year. So it's the exact same framework, nothing different.
Yeah, that is a great point. So Kelly and I, we were fortunate enough when we started the Silverlight user group here in Portland to get Scott Stanfield of Vertigo to come in and talk. And he pointed that out. He's like, here's the play, here's the player that the I forget. Is it Sunday Night Football? Is it Sunday Night?
Yeah, correct. Yeah. Sunday Night Football.
That Sunday Night Football is built on, and here it is in CodePlex. It was one of those pretty cool moments. Something else that happened this past week or fairly recently was the Visual Studio 2010 RC release, and I clicked the button for the download on this, and right before I did the install, I think I saw what you guys saw. No Silverlight 4 beta support in the 2010 RC.
Yeah, I didn't see that until like this afternoon, and I installed it last night. So,
ouch.
So you're not going to be playing with the beta bits, right?
No, I'm not. I I realized it. Yeah, geez, that was kind of frustrating. But you know, it's okay. I mean, I've got enough projects on the side that I can work on that are back in Silverlight 3, and the one that I was doing in Silverlight 4 with Rhea Services. You know, it's kind of a promo project anyways for a nonprofit, and so they don't need that till May. That's fine.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think that there's a time limit where the 2010 RC is going to be without Silverlight 4, and I think it might expire pretty soon. Brian, did you pick up on that from the Lidnug talk?
Just the Scott Guthrie's, you know, stand by a few weeks ahead, respecting something coming out, so.
Right, and the presumption there is that the new Silverlight 4 bits will work with the 2010 RC.
Correct. And I think that's the same as a lot of the CTPs that got released with the beta bits, because all those projects had to recompile for the new .NET 4 runtime as well.
Yeah, so
the RC runtime.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Really good point.
But I do have a friend actually using the RC bits sort of in production work. So he has one machine using RC bits and one machine using the beta. And he says he loves the RC just because of the speed and performance, but he's also doing some Silverlight 4 work, so he's forced to do beta 2 work.
Yeah, the beta 2 of Visual Studio 2010, man, that's killing me performance-wise. I'm looking forward to getting out of there. All right, guys, do we have any other points to cover?
That was it for me.
Yeah, I think that was it.
Yeah, so one last thing, and we'll wind down. So Michael, and I never know how to say his last name, I haven't heard it pronounced out loud, but Saransky did a recreation of Frogger in sort of a nice nice, I think it was on Code Project he did it, but we'll have the, yeah, it was in Code Project, and we'll have the link up there to that. And I guess one sort of question I want to ask you guys spur of the moment is, you know, so here we have Frogger, and in Silverlight we have a lot of power for games, and in my opinion, there's a lack of Silverlight games, especially popular Silverlight games. I mean, it's kind of frustrating. You guys have thoughts as to why that is, or maybe you don't even agree with the assertion.
I agree with you. There is a lack of good Silverlight games out there. The reason why, it's kind of hard to explain, or I just don't understand it, to be precise.
It's I think the lack of Silverlight games there is because that right now there's not a whole lot of money in it, right? I mean, if you're going to do a Silverlight game, your revenue, a lot of it's going to be advertising-based. And if you're going to do Silverlight development, it'd be much better to do a line-of-business application and get paid for all your time there than to make advertising revenue on the side and not get paid for the development up front.
Oh, yeah, so that's a really, really good point, right, is that the economics of making a Silverlight game just aren't there. So the people who are making it are making it pretty much on their own dime, and usually as side projects. All right, guys. Well, thank you for the inaugural episode of This Week in Silverlight. I feel like I've learned something. So thank you for being involved, and I look forward to continuing this.
Hey, thanks, Eric.
Thank you, Eric.
Thanks for listening. If you're interested in Silverlight 3 or Silverlight 4, check out our website, silverbaylabs.org. That's where we have information about Silverlight consulting and development. If you're interested in training, check out the Silverlight Tour, where I'm an instructor.